supper at the hospital and sometimes breakfast. You get the idea. And I would often go through the cafeteria to get my supper, and it was much quieter in the evening than the bustle of the lunchtime, of course. And I'd often notice a woman sitting by the window. Sometimes she was sitting by herself. Sometimes there were two or three gathered, and sometimes there were like 14 people sitting around having a very engaged conversation, and I got curious. So I went over one of the times she was sitting by herself. I can still imagine her sitting along this wall of the hospital. And I introduced myself as one of the chaplains, and I said, I've noticed you're here a lot. In fact, every night I'm on call, you seem to be here. She said, oh, this is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, AA. She said, I come whether anybody else does or not. Sometimes there are a few, sometimes there are many, and sometimes I'm just here by the window. And then she said something I will always remember. She said, because I've realized that I can't keep my serenity if I don't give it away. I can't keep my serenity if I don't give it away. When I stand on this wonderful chancel and actually look across to that kneeling bench, sometimes perhaps that's used at a wedding or confirmation time. But I'm thinking of a wedding this morning, several years ago. It was my privilege to conduct this for a couple. It was a second marriage for both of them. They were blending their family of teenagers. And by the way, apparently the new term is not blended family, but blending, because it's a work in progress. And first appearances with this couple could be deceiving, because he was a very big and imposing man. She was very diminutive. He was very quiet, and she wasn't. They were delightful. And when we came to the vows, he was quite sure he wanted to go first. And as he began to speak, he began to cry. And cry, and cry. And but for her eye contact, she pulled him through, and he was able to say his vows. But his love was literally pouring out of his eyes. I often think of that couple on Valentine's Day and on Family Day. I wonder how the blending's going. Both have just passed in recent weeks. In his own love letter to the church at Philippi, St. Paul knew of and wrote about such devotion. The devotion of the AA leader, the devotion of the groom and the bride. But he's speaking of the person of Jesus. They are words of an ancient Christological hymn, words sung about the person of Christ. Christological, a love that pours itself out. The Greek in which Paul would have written, the Greek word is kenosis, which means emptying, as Laura read for us. So we sometimes say a kenotic Christology. I promise this isn't a theology lecture. But there are at least two important understandings of this theology. Both of them are very honorable, but quite different. A bit like the choice in the PC leadership yesterday. As Eugene Peterson translates it, and I quote, Jesus set aside the privilege of deity. He emptied himself. He became human. He lived a selfless, obedient life and died a selfless, obedient death, among the worst kind of death that is, a crucifixion. So, was this a sacrifice to pay for our sins? The $10 word for that is propitiation. Or was it a matter of God redeeming what the Roman soldiers did to put Jesus on that cross, to raise Jesus from the dead, and to wipe away our sin? The $10 word for that is expiation. But think of it as payment or wiping away. There's the spectrum. Both understandings have Jesus humbling himself. And the challenge remains for us to be humble, especially through these days of Lent and in the light of such love. Perhaps we can decide the way we look at Jesus' love as a propitiation, a payment, or an expiation, a wiping away. Well, whatever you might think of Pope Benedict, and he hasn't been mentioned lately for 5 years or some, and some of the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church that he chose to emphasize, you couldn't help but be struck by the humility of his decision to retire. really uncalled for. He said he was relinquishing his calling as the Bishop of Rome, and he's begun some gentler years of retirement. He was known as an often authoritarian leader who yet sounded many grace notes of apology over a relatively short papacy, particularly to the Jewish people, for some persisting and historically very inaccurate teachings about their role in the trial of Jesus. As I said, it was Roman officials who held him and Roman soldiers who crucified him. And the Pope made that very clear, finally. And he also offered some very fulsome apologies to the victims of abuse of religious authorities, those who abused and those who protected the abusers. I don't think Benedict gets quite the credit he deserves for both of those things. And yet, a little bit at his expense, as you may know, he is exactly the same age as Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth. They won't see 90 again. They're catching up to Nanny Davis. And when Benedict retired, I have to confess I really enjoyed the editorial cartoon. I don't know if you saw it. There's a picture of the Queen standing on a street corner in Rome alone, as if she ever would be. And St. Peter's Basilica was in behind. And the Pope, Benedict, was walking away from St. Peter's and passed her on the street corner. And there was just that thought bubble above her head. One word. Wimp. They say she has a wicked sense of humor, and I hope the Pope does too. Well, the last part of what Laura read for us can be challenging, even troubling. It's a very triumphalistic part of this hymn, this letter to the Church of Philippi. And it continues about how all created things in heaven and on earth will bow in worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is master of all the glory to the glorious honor of God. That's another of the translations. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, as one of the hymn settings puts it. This is a very powerful statement of Christian faith in celebration of conversion, because that's what Paul was hoping for as he wrote to his friends at Philippi, or in this case, celebrating those that had chosen to be baptized and to convert to Christianity. But let me assure you, working in the hospital and in the more diverse society that we find ourselves, we need to remember that this is not an ultimatum to other faiths. It may be a celebration of what we might believe, but surely Christians, among other faiths, this is no less true, can celebrate their faith without subjugating or denigrating others. One of the great things about AA is it welcomes all to that table. One of the great writers, Frederick Buechner, used to say, if you wanted to get a really good experience of church, he was never disappointed by going to AA. A great Presbyterian preacher and writer, but he spoke his truth. Well, remember that St. Paul was writing this letter to the Philippians from prison. Well, I've declared my interest as a chaplain in a provincial hospital, but I wonder what St. Paul would make of prison chaplains. And I'm thinking of one in particular who may have even preached in this pulpit. I speak of Marianne Skinner, who recently moved from being one of the ministers at Kingsway Lambton United Church. She went there after one of your former ministers. And she has now joined me in Kitchener working at the Grand Valley Institution for Women. She works there, I don't. It's a maximum security federal prison in Kitchener. And I have great admiration for Marianne. She decided this was her calling. And I have to wonder what St. Paul would make of Marianne's ministry to families, inmates and staff, as a love poured out. Where else do we find this pouring out of redemption and humility that Paul sings about in this ancient hymn? I certainly think of the Out of the Cold program that this church is very well known for supporting at neighboring Blythewood Baptist Church. A little story from my backyard in Waterloo, where we had a similar program called Out of the Cold, and I am on the cleanup crew. There was a time when we fed over 100 and slept 50 on Friday nights. I'm glad to say now we feed about 75 and none of them have the chance to stay over because almost all of them have housing. It's been an amazing shift in a couple of years and may it continue. But part of the success is a program called SHOW, Supportive Housing of Waterloo. And it was a remarkable coming together of faith communities in Waterloo, Anglican, Lutheran, Jewish, Mennonite, Muslim, Roman Catholic, and United Church. and they built a 30-bed supportive housing unit for people who can't live entirely on their own but need their own place. And now they've just broken ground on 8 more units that will be geared to seniors, because that is a great need too, including homeless seniors. But the story that comes to mind is one night after supper, one of the men who'd already moved to the show house saw one of his friends who was homeless. And he said to him, "You know, there's a vacancy at my house," thinking of that 30-bed unit as his house. He said, "I want you to apply." And then he paused and he looked his friend in the eye, much like the bride looked at the groom, and he said, "I want you to apply because there is a God." Didn't hear how it turned out, whether his friend did apply or did move, but you could see the emptying of that love for his friend, hoping that they could live there together. That reminds me of another great speaker, and I speak of the former and fabulous President Obama. He kind of works his way into most of my sermons, so much do I think of him. In one of his last State of the Union addresses, he captured this, I think, very well. As he said to his colleague legislators, "My friends, we are not sent here to be perfect, but we are sent here to make what difference we can. We're not sent here to be perfect, but we are sent here to make what difference we can." Love poured out. Father Bernie Hayes knew about that. He was an esteemed and colorful Roman Catholic priest, part of the Congregation of the Resurrection Order in Kitchener-Waterloo. Little sidebar, he was a classmate of Pope Benedict, circa 1962 in Rome. Bernie used to describe himself as the chaplain of everything that moves. The Regional Police Service, the City of Waterloo Fire Rescue, the local Legion branch, the CLW, and lots of others. CWL? Catholic Women's League? You get the idea. Harking back to my days as a hospital chaplain, Bernie was one of the go-to guys when you had a tough call, particularly in the Roman Catholic tradition, as we did one afternoon, when a man in his 60s or so said he wanted to see a chaplain. I responded initially, but as soon as I arrived and wasn't wearing a collar, he said, "You're not Roman Catholic, are you?" I said, "No, I'm not, but I can get somebody for you." He said, "Good, I need confession." And as I was going out the door, as often happens, you know, they call it the doorknob comment or conversation, he said, "Oh, and you can tell the priest I want confession from the church." Oh. Well, I knew I could call Bernie and he'd figure it out. And he came right away. And he told me after, as we need to do, to debrief with each other without breaking the seal of the confessional, but just to give me context for the confession sought. He said this man told me that he grew up beside a residential school that happened to be run by the Roman Catholics, and the United Church ran them too, and the Anglicans and many others. He said this man was pumping gas beside that residential school, and as he told me, I knew bad stuff was going on in there, and I didn't say anything. "And now I'm dying," said the man. "So I need a confession from the church." So Bernie met with him and offered that, and I don't think I've broken the seal by telling you that much of the story, but he shared confession back and forth. Boy, the love poured out doesn't get much clearer than that. A self-emptying ministry of Bernie, but of the caring man, even those years later. Well, on a lighter note, Bernie was also, as I mentioned, the chaplain of the police band and auxiliary, and I used to be a member of that band, and we would have a march past inspection every year. And Bernie was an officer of the service, standing beside the chief, and always got to give a benediction at the end of the service. And we were done early. So before he blessed us on our way, in his inclusive way, in his humorous way, he said, "Thank God we're done early. I'll get home in time to see Desperate Housewives." Such was his self-deprecating and empowering sense of humor. When Father Bernie died a few years ago, many, many gathered, first for a vigil wake service at the Basilica Church of his order, and then a funeral the next day. But it was the wake service, when more personal tributes are offered, that really stays with me. One of the first tributes came from the chief of police, newly appointed Brian Larkin, a wonderful fellow who really gave a lot of homage to this chaplain for the support he had received. And then Father Toby came up to the microphone, Toby being one of the youngest priests in the Congregation of the Resurrection, Father Bernie being one of the oldest. If you can imagine Toby standing at a lectern like this and Bernie's casket at the steps like that, he told a story. He said, at the end of my first year of priesthood, I had a problem, a dilemma, so I phoned Father Bernie. And I said, Father, I have some of my stipend left over, the money that's given to a priest to live through the year. And he said, what should I do? And he said, Bernie let off one of his holy smoke laughs, and he said, spend it! And then Toby leaned into the microphone and almost whispered, we gather this night to celebrate the life and faith of Father Bernie Hayes because Bernie was spent. Bernie was spent. High praise from a young protege. And so, as we recall how Jesus gathered with his friends the night before he died, and he talked about pouring himself out, the next time you gather here or anywhere for communion, listen for the words poured out for you. And whether you come forward or pass a tray of small cups, listen for the words shed for you, which would be propitiation, or poured out for you, which would be expiation. But either way we say it, let's make what difference we can. Okay.